think?
She throws her hands into the air again. I run my fingers through my hair, trying to calm myself. Well, that's on you then. I don't know what the hell else to do to make you see that I love you. She kissed someone. She kissed another guy right in front of me. This feels worse than when she left me. At least I could blame myself then. Her warm breath is creating puffs of smoke in the cold air.
Well, maybe if I wasn't so used to you keeping secrets, I wouldn't have been so ready to misunderstand,
she yells. I look at her.
You're unbelievable. I honestly cannot even look at you right now.
The image of her kissing him won't stop playing over and over.
I'm sorry for kissing him, she sighs. It isn't that big of a deal. You're joking, right?
Please tell me that you are, because if that had been me kissing someone else, you probably wouldn't have spoken to me again. But I forgot that since it's Princess Tessa, it's okay. No harm done, I mock. She crosses her arms with an indignation she doesn't deserve.
Princess Tessa? Really, Harden?
Yeah, really. You cheated on me right in front of me. I brought you here so you would know how much I care about you. I wanted you to know that I don't care what anyone thinks about us. I wanted you to have the best night you could have. And then you go and do this shit.
Harden, I...
No, I'm not done. I pull out my keys. You're acting as if this is no big deal.
This is a huge deal to me. To see another man's lips on yours is... I can't even explain how sick that makes me. I said...
I lose it. I know I look wild and scary, but I can't help it.
Stop interrupting me for once in your goddamn life!
I shout.
You know what? It's fine. You can go back in there and ask your new boyfriend to give you a ride home.
I turn and unlock the car door.
He looks a lot like Noah, and you probably miss him. What? What does Noah have to do with this? And I clearly do not have a type.
She growls and gestures at me.
Though maybe I should. Fuck this!
I spit and climb into the car, turning it on and leaving her standing out in the cold. When I get to the stop sign, I can't help but hit the steering wheel over and over. If she doesn't call me within an hour, I'll know she went home with someone else.
Chapter 62. Tessa. 10 minutes later, I'm still standing on the sidewalk. My legs and arms are numb and I'm shivering. Harden will come back any minute. There's no way he'll actually leave me here alone. Drunk and alone. When I go to call him, I remember that he has my phone. Great. What the hell was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. That's the problem. We were doing so good, and I didn't even try to give him the benefit of the doubt. Instead, I kissed someone. The memory makes me want to vomit on the sidewalk. Why hasn't he come back yet? I need to go inside. It's way too cold out here, and I want another drink. My buzz is starting to wear off, and I'm not ready to face reality. When I get inside, I head directly for the kitchen and pour myself a drink. This is why I shouldn't drink. I have no common sense when I'm drunk. I immediately assumed the worst of him and made a huge mistake.
Tessa?
Zed's voice says from behind me. Hey. I groan and lift my head up from the cool counter and turn to face him.
What are you doing?
He half laughs.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, I lie.
Where's Harden?
He left.
He left? Without you?
Yep. I take a drink from my cup.
Why?
Because I'm an idiot, I answer honestly.
I doubt that.
He smiles. No, really. I am this time.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, not really. I sigh.
Okay. Well, I'll leave you alone,
he says, and begins to walk away. But then he turns back around.
It's not supposed to be so complicated, you know?
What? I ask him and follow him to sit at a card table in the kitchen.
Love, relationships, all that. It doesn't have to be so hard.
Doesn't it, though? Isn't it always like this? I have no reference except Noah. We never fought like this, but I don't know that I loved him. Not like I do Harden. I dump my drink down the sink and grab a glass to fill with water.
I don't think so. I've never seen anyone fight the way you two do.
It's because we're so different, that's all.
Yeah, I guess you are.
He smiles. By the time I check the clock again, it's been an hour since Harden left me here. Maybe he isn't coming back after all. Would you forgive someone if they kissed someone else? I finally ask Zed.
I guess it depends on the details.
What if they did it right in front of you?
Hell no. That's unforgivable,
he says with a disgusted expression. Oh. Zed leans toward me sympathetically.
He did that?
No. I look up at him with wide eyes. I did.
You did?
Zed is clearly surprised. Yeah. I told you I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you are.
Yep, I agree.
How are you getting home?
He asks. Well, I keep thinking he's going to come back to get me, but he's obviously not going to. I bite my lip.
I can take you if you want,
he says, but when I look around uncertainly, he adds,
Or Steph and Tristan are probably upstairs, you know.
I look at him quickly. Actually, can you take me now? I don't want to dig myself in any deeper, but I'm beginning to sober up, thank goodness, and I just want to be home to try to talk to Harden.
Yeah, let's go,
Zed says, and I down the last of my water before following him outside to his car. When we're only about 10 minutes away from the apartment, I begin panicking over Harden's reaction to Zed driving me home. I keep trying to force myself to sober up, but it doesn't work that way. I'm a lot less intoxicated than I was an hour ago, but I'm still drunk. Can I use your phone to try to call him? I ask Zed. He removes one hand from the steering wheel to dig into his pocket for his phone.
Here. Shit, it's dead,
he says, pressing the button on the top and revealing an empty battery symbol. Thanks anyway, I shrug. Calling Harden from Zed's phone probably isn't the best idea I've had. Not as bad as my idea to kiss a random guy in front of Harden, but still not a good one. What if he isn't here, I say. Zed looks at me quizzically.
You have a key, don't you?
I didn't bring mine. I didn't think I would need it.
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll be here,
Zed says, but he sounds nervous. Harden would literally murder him if he found me at Zed's place. When we do arrive at the apartment, Zed parks and I scan the parking lot for Harden's car. And it's parked in his usual spot, thank God. I have no idea what I would have done if he weren't here. Zed insists on walking me up. As much as I think that will not end well, I don't know if I'm capable of getting myself up to the apartment alone in my intoxicated state. Damn Harden for leaving me at that party. Damn me for being an impulsive idiot. Damn Zed for being so sweet and fearless when he shouldn't be. Damn Washington for being so damn cold. When we reach the elevator, my head begins to pound along with my heart. I need to go over what I'm going to say to Harden. He'll be so mad at me, and I need to think of a good way to apologize without using sex. I'm not used to being the one to apologize for anything, because he's always the one who messes up. Being on this side of things doesn't feel good at all. It feels terrible. We walk down the hallway, and I can't help but feel as if we're preparing to walk the plank. I just don't know whether it will be Zed or myself that drops down into the water. I knock, and Zed stands a few feet behind me as we wait for the door to open. This was a terrible idea. I should have just stayed at the party. I knock again, this time louder. What if he doesn't answer? What if he took my car and isn't even here? I didn't think of that. If he doesn't answer, can I go to your place? I try to hold my tears back. I don't want to stay at Zed's and make Harden even more upset with me, but I can't really think of another option. What if he doesn't forgive me? I can't be without him. Zed's hand touches my back, and he rubs up and down to soothe me. I cannot cry. I need to be calm when he answers. If he answers.
Of course you can,
Zed finally replies. Harden, please open up. I quietly beg and rest my forehead against the door. I don't want to yell and cause a scene at nearly 2 in the morning. Our neighbors probably have issues with us yelling enough already. I guess he's not going to answer, I sigh, and lean up against the wall for a minute. Then finally, as we turn to walk away, the door clicks open.
Well, look who decided to show up,
Harden says as he stands in the doorway and eyes us. Something about his tone sends chills down my spine. When I turn to face him, his eyes are bloodshot and his cheeks are pink.
Zed, pal, it's so nice to see you,
he slurs. He's drunk. My thoughts suddenly clear. Harden, have you been drinking? He looks at me imperiously, clearly unsteady.
What's it to you? You have a new boyfriend.
Harden, I don't know what to say to him. He's obviously wasted. The last time I saw him this drunk was the night Landon called me to come to Ken's house. With his father's history of drinking and the way Trish was so fearful that Harden had begun to drink again, my heart sinks. Thank you for bringing me home. I think you should go now, I politely say to Zed. Harden is too drunk to be around Zed.
No,
Harden exhales.
Come on in. Let's have a drink together.
He grabs Zed's arm and pulls him through the doorway. I follow them in, protesting. No, this is not a good idea. You're drunk.
It's fine,
Zed tells me, waving me off. It's almost like he has a death wish. Harden stumbles over to the coffee table, grabs the bottle of dark liquor standing on it, and pours the liquid into a glass.
Yeah, Tessa. Chill the fuck out.
I want to yell at him for speaking to me that way, but I can't find my voice.
Here you go. I'll get another one. One for you too, Tess.
Harden mumbles and walks into the kitchen. Zed sits in the chair and I take a seat on the couch.
I'm not leaving you here alone with him. Look how drunk he is,
he whispers.
I thought he didn't drink.
He doesn't. Not like this. This is my fault. I put my head in my hands. I hate that Harden is drunk because of what I did. I wanted us to have a civil conversation so I could apologize for everything.
No, it's not,
Zed assures me.
This one's for you,
Harden says loudly as he bursts back into the room and hands me a glass half full of liquor. I don't want any more. I drank enough tonight. I take the glass from his hands and set it on the table.
Suit yourself. More for me.
He smiles at me something evil. Not the same as the smile I've grown to adore. I'm honestly a little frightened. I know Harden would never hurt me physically, but I don't like this side of him. I would rather him be screaming at me or punching a wall than sitting here drunk off his ass and being so calm. Too calm. Zed gives us a little cheers and brings his drink to his lips.
This is just like old times, isn't it? You know, back before you wanted to fuck my girl?
Harden says, and Zed spits his drink back into the glass.
It's not like that. You left her there, and I just brought her home,
Zed says in a threatening tone. Harden waves his own drink in the air.
I'm not just talking about tonight, and you know it. Though I am pretty annoyed by you taking it upon yourself to bring her home. She's a big girl. She can fend for herself. She shouldn't have to fend for herself,
Zed fires back. Harden slams his glass onto the table, and I jump.
That's not up to you. You wish it was, though, don't you?
I feel like I'm in the middle of a gunfight and I want to move, but my body won't allow it. I watch in horror as my Mr. Darcy begins to transform into Tom Buchanan.
No,
Zed responds. Harden sits down next to me but keeps his glassy eyes focused on Zed. I look down at the bottle, which is at least a fourth gone. I pray that Harden has not consumed all of it tonight within the last hour and a half.
Yeah, it is. I'm not stupid. You want her. Molly told me everything you said before. Leave it alone, Harden,
Zed growls, only egging Harden on.
Your first problem is talking to Molly. Oh, Tessa is so beautiful. Tessa is so sweet. Tessa is too good for Harden. Tessa should be with me,
Harden mocks. What? Zed avoids looking at me.
Shut the fuck up, Harden. Hear that, babe? Zed thought he could actually have you.
Harden laughs. Stop it, Harden, I say, and get up from the couch. Zed looks humiliated. I shouldn't have asked him to drive me home. Did he really say those things about me? I had assumed the way he acted toward me had to do with shame over the bet, but now I'm not so sure.
Look at her. I bet you're thinking about it right now, aren't you?
Harden taunts him. Zed glares at Harden and sets his drink on the table.
You will never have her, kid, so give it up. No one will have her except me. I'm the only one who will ever fuck her. The only one who will know how good it feels to have her.
Stop it! I yell. What the hell is wrong with you?
Nothing. I'm just telling him how it is.
Harden answers. You're being cruel, I tell him, and disrespectful to me. I turn to Zed. I really think you should go. Zed looks at Harden, then back to me. I'm fine, I assure him. I don't know what will happen, but I know it won't be as bad as what will occur if he stays. Please, I beg. Finally, Zed nods.
Fine, I'll go. He needs to get his shit together. Both of you do. You heard her, get the fuck out. Don't be too sad, though. She doesn't want me either.
Harden takes another drink.
She likes those clean-cut pretty boys.
My heart sinks even lower, and I know I'm in for a long night. I don't know if I should be afraid, but I'm not. Well, a little, but I'm not leaving.
Out,
Harden repeats, pointing, and Zed heads for the door. Once Zed is no longer in the apartment, Harden locks the door and turns to face me.
You're lucky I didn't beat his ass for bringing you here. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I agree. Arguing with him doesn't seem like a good idea.
Why did you even come here?
I live here.
Not for long.
He pours more alcohol. What? The air leaves my lungs. You're going to kick me out? When the glass is full, he cocks one eye at me.
No, you'll leave on your own eventually.
No, I won't.
Maybe your new lover has room at his place. The two of you looked really nice together.
The hateful way he's speaking to me takes me back to the beginning of our relationship, and I don't like it. Harden, please stop saying those things. I don't even know him, and I'm incredibly sorry for what I did.
I will say what I want, just the way you do whatever the fuck you want.
I made a mistake, and I'm sorry, but that doesn't give you the right to treat me so cruelly and drink like this. I was so drunk, and I really thought something happened with you and that girl. I didn't know what to think. I'm so sorry. I'd never hurt you purposely. I say it all as fast as I can, with as much emphasis as possible, but he isn't listening.
You are still talking?
He snaps. I sigh and chew on my cheek. Don't cry. Don't cry. I'm going to go to bed, and we can talk when you aren't so drunk. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't even look at me. So I take off my shoes and walk into the bedroom. As soon as I go to close the door, I hear glass shatter. When I rush into the living room, the wall is wet and glass litters the floor. I watch helplessly as he grabs the other two glasses and slams them against the wall. He takes one last swig from the bottle and then uses all of his strength to shatter it against the wall. Chapter 63. Tessa. He grabs the lamp off the table, causing the cord to rip out of the wall before smashing it on the floor. Then he grabs a vase and breaks it against the brick. Why is his first instinct to break everything in sight? Stop it! I scream. Harden, you're going to break all of our stuff. Please stop it!
This is your fault, Tessa. You fucking caused this!
He shouts back and grabs another vase. I scurry into the living room and snatch the object from his hand before he can break it. I know it is. Please just talk to me, I beg. I can't hold my tears back any longer. Please, Harden.
You fucked up, Tessa. So badly.
His fist slams against the wall. I knew this was coming, and honestly, I'm surprised it took this long. I'm thankful he chose the drywall to hit. The brick surely would have damaged his hand much worse.
Just leave me alone, damn it. Go away.
He paces back and forth before slamming both palms against the wall. I love you, I blurt. I need to try to calm him, but he's just so drunk and intimidating.
Well, you don't act like it. You kissed another fucking guy. And then you bring Zed to my fucking house?
My heart lurches at the mention of Zed's name. Harden humiliated him. I know. I'm sorry. I fight the urge to call him out for being a hypocrite. Yes, I know what I did was wrong. So wrong. But I have forgiven him for hurting me repeatedly.
You know how fucking crazy, how absolutely fucking mad it makes me to see you with anyone else, and you go and do this shit?
The veins in his neck are turning a deep purple, and he's beginning to resemble a monster. I said, I'm sorry, Harden. I speak as softly and slowly as I can manage. What more can I say? I wasn't thinking clearly. He tugs at his hair.
Sorry doesn't erase the image from my mind. It's all I can see.
I walk toward him and stand directly in front of him. He reeks of whiskey. Then look at me. Look at me. I put my hands on his face, directing his gaze.
You kissed him. You kissed someone else.
His voice is much lower than it was seconds ago. I know I did, and I'm so sorry, Harden. I wasn't thinking. You know how irrational I can be.
That's not an excuse.
I know, baby, I know. I'm hoping those words will soften him.
It hurts,
he says, though his bloodshot eyes have lost their edge.
I knew better than to have a girlfriend. Not that I ever wanted one. But this is what happens when people date or get married. This type of shit is why I need to be alone. I don't want to go through this.
He pulls away from me. My chest aches because he sounds like a child. A lonely, sad child. I can't help but picture Harden as a child, hiding away as his parents fight over his father's alcohol abuse. Harden, please forgive me. It won't happen again. I will never do anything like this again.
It doesn't matter, Tess. One of us will. That's what people do when they love each other. They hurt each other, then break up or get divorced. I don't want that for us. For you.
I step closer to him. That won't happen with us. We're different. He shakes his head lightly.
It happens with everyone. Look at our parents.
Our parents just married the wrong people, that's all. Look at Karen and your dad. I'm relieved that he's being much calmer now.
They'll get divorced too.
No, Harden. I don't think they will.
I do. Marriage is such a fucked up concept. Hey, I sort of like you, so let's move in together and sign some paperwork promising to never leave each other, even though we won't stick to it anyway. Why would anyone do that willingly? Why would you want to be tied down to one person forever?
I'm not mentally prepared to process what he's just said to me. He doesn't see a future with me? He's only saying this because he's drunk, right? Do you really want me to go? Is that what you want, to end this now? I ask, looking straight into his eyes. He doesn't answer me. Harden?
No.
Fuck.
No, Tessa. I love you. I love you so fucking much, but you... What you did was so wrong. You took every single fear that I have and brought them to life in one action.
His eyes begin to water and my chest begins to cave in. I know I did. I feel terrible for hurting you. He looks around the room and I can see in his eyes that everything we've built here was him trying to prove himself to me.
You should be with someone like Noah,
he says. I don't want to be with anyone except you. I wipe my eyes.
I'm afraid you will.
Afraid I'll what? Leave you for Noah?
Not him exactly, but someone like him.
I won't. Harden, I love you. No one else. I love you. I love everything about you. Please stop doubting yourself. It hurts me to think that he feels this way.
Can you honestly tell me that you didn't start seeing me to piss off your mom?
What? I say. But he just watches me and waits for an answer. No, of course not. My mother has nothing to do with us. I fell in love with you because... Well, because I didn't have a choice. I couldn't help it. I tried not to because of what my mother would think, but I never had a choice. I've always loved you, whether I wanted to or not.
Sure.
What can I do to make you see that? After everything I've been through for him, how could he think me being with him is a way to rebel against my mother?
Not kiss other guys, perhaps.
I know you're insecure, but you should know that I love you. I have fought for you from day one with my mother, Noah, everyone. But something I've said strikes him wrong.
Insecure? I'm not insecure, but I'm also not going to sit around and be played for a fucking fool.
With his sudden turn back to anger, I'm starting to get angry myself. You are worried about being played? I know what I did was wrong, but he has done much worse to me. He really did treat me like a fool, and I forgave him.
Don't start that shit with me,
he growls. We've come such a long way. We've been through so much, Harden. Don't let one mistake take that from us. I never thought I'd be the one begging for forgiveness.
You did it, not me.
Stop being so cold to me. You've done a lot of things to me, too, I snap. Anger returns to his face, and he storms away from me, yelling over his shoulder.
You know what? I've done a lot of things, but you kissed someone right in front of me.
Oh, you mean like the night you had Molly on your lap and kissed her in front of me? He spins around quickly.
We weren't together then.
Maybe not to you, but I thought we were.
Doesn't fucking matter, Tessa.
So you're saying that you aren't going to let this go, then?
I don't know what I'm saying, but you are getting on my nerves.
I think you should go to bed, I suggest. Despite the glimpses of understanding that have appeared in the last few minutes, it's clear that he has his mind set on being cruel.
I think you shouldn't tell me what to do.
I know you're angry and hurt, but you can't talk to me that way. It's not right, and I won't put up with it, drunk or not.
I am not hurt.
He glares at me. Harden and his pride. You just said you were.
No, I didn't. Don't tell me what I said.
Okay, okay. I throw my hands up, giving in. I'm exhausted, and I don't want to pull the pin on the grenade that is Harden. He walks over to the key rack and takes his keychain off while he stumbles to grab his boots. What are you doing? I rush over to him.
Leaving. What does it look like?
You aren't leaving. You have been drinking. A lot. I reach for his keys, but he slips them into his pocket.
I don't give a shit. I need more to drink.
No, you don't. You had enough, and you broke the bottle. I try to reach for his pocket, but he grabs a hold of my wrist like he has done countless times. This time is different because he's so angry, and for a second I begin to worry. Let go, I challenge him.
Don't try to stop me from leaving, and I'll let go.
He doesn't let up, and I try to appear unaffected. Harden, you're going to hurt me. His eyes meet mine, and he lets go quickly. When he raises a hand, I flinch and slink back away from him, but he's only running it through his hair, I see. His eyes flash with panic.
You thought I was going to hit you?
He nearly whispers, and I back away farther. I don't know. You're so angry, and you're scaring me. I knew he wouldn't hurt me, but this is the easiest way to get him back to reality.
You should know I wouldn't hurt you. No matter how drunk I am, I wouldn't fucking touch you.
He glares at me. For someone who hates your father so much, you sure as hell don't have a problem acting like him, I spit.
Fuck you. I'm nothing like him,
he shouts. Yes, you are. You're drunk. You left me at that party, and you broke half our decorations in the living room, including my favorite lamp. You are acting like him, the old him.
Yeah, well, you're acting like your mom, a spoiled, snobby little...
He sneers, and I gasp. Who are you? I ask, and shake my head. I walk away, not wanting to hear any more from him, and I know if we continue to argue while he's this drunk, it will not end well. He's taken his disrespect to a whole new level.
Tessa, I'm...
He begins. Don't. I turn and spit, before continuing to the bedroom. I can take his rude comments. I can take him yelling at me, because hell, I dish it out right back to him. But we both need distance before one of us says something even worse.
I didn't mean that,
he says and follows me. I close the bedroom door and lock it behind me. I slide my back down its smooth surface until I'm sitting on the floor, my knees pulled up to my chest. Maybe we can't make this work. Maybe he's too angry and I'm too irrational. I push him too far, and he does the same to me. No, that isn't true. We are good for each other because we push each other. Despite all the fights and tension between us, there's passion. So much passion that it nearly drowns me, pulling me under. And he's the only light, the only one to save me, regardless of whether he's the one dooming me. Hardin taps the wood softly.
Tess, open the door.
Just go to sleep, please, I cry.
Damn it, Tessa. Open this door now. I'm sorry, okay?
He shouts and begins to pound at the door. Praying that he won't bust through the door, I force myself up off the floor and pad over to the dresser to dig through my bottom drawer. When I see the white of the paper, relief washes over me, and I go into the closet and close myself in there. As I begin reading Hardin's note to me, the pounding at the door is drowned out to the point of no longer existing. The ache in my chest dissolves along with my headache. Nothing exists except this letter, these perfect words from my imperfect Hardin. I read it over and over until my tears stop, along with the noise from the hall. I desperately hope that he didn't leave, but I'm not going out there to find out. My heart and my eyes are too heavy. I need to lie down. Taking the letter with me, I drag my body to the bed, still wearing my dress. Eventually, sleep comes to me, and I am free to dream of the Hardin that scribbled these words on a sheet of paper in a hotel room. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I fold the letter up and place it back in my bottom drawer before opening the bedroom door. Hardin is asleep in the hallway, curled up in a ball on the concrete floor. Figuring I shouldn't wake him, I leave him alone to sleep off his intoxication and go back to sleep. Chapter 64. Tessa. Come the morning, the hallway is empty, and the mess in the living room is completely cleared. Not one single piece of glass is left on the floor. The room smells of lemons, and the whiskey is no longer splattered across the wall. I'm surprised Hardin even knew where the cleaner is stored. Hardin? I call, my voice hoarse from all the yelling I did last night. Getting no answer, I go over to the kitchen table where an index card with his handwriting rests.
Please don't leave. I'll be back soon, it says.
The 1,000 pounds of pressure lifts from my chest, and I grab the e-reader, make a cup of coffee, and wait for his return. What feels like hours go by before Hardin finally comes back home. I have since showered, cleaned up the kitchen, and read 50 pages of Moby Dick, and I don't even care for the book. Most of the time that has passed has been filled with me thinking of every possibility of his behavior and what he will say. The fact that he didn't want me to leave, so that is a good thing, right? I sure hope so. The entire night is a blur, but I remember the key points. When I hear the click of the front door, I instantly still. Everything I've been preparing to say to him vanishes from my mind. I set the e-reader down on the table and sit up on the couch. When Hardin walks through the door, he's wearing a gray sweatshirt and his signature black jeans. He doesn't leave the house in anything except black and occasionally white, so the contrast today is a little strange, but the sweatshirt makes him look younger somehow. His hair is messy and pushed off his forehead, and his eyes have dark circles under them. In his hand is a lamp, different from the one he shattered last night, but very similar.
Hey,
he says, and runs his tongue along his bottom lip before pulling his lip ring between his teeth. Hi, I mutter in return.
How did you sleep?
He asks. I stand up from the couch as he walks toward the kitchen. Good, I lie.
That's good.
It is evident that we're both treading very lightly, afraid to say the wrong thing. He stands by the counter and I stay near the fridge.
I got a new lamp.
He nods at his purchase before setting it on the counter. It's nice. I feel anxious, very anxious.
They didn't have the one we had, but they...
He begins. I'm so sorry, I blurt out, interrupting him.
Me too, Tessa.
Last night was not supposed to go that way, I say, and look down.
That is surely an understatement.
It was a terrible night. I should have let you explain yourself before I kissed someone. It was stupid and immature of me.
Yes, it was. I shouldn't have had to explain myself. You should have trusted me and not jumped to conclusions.
He leans his elbows on the counter behind him, and I fiddle with my fingers, trying not to pick at the skin around my fingernails. I know. I'm sorry.
I heard you the first 10 times, Tess.
Are you going to forgive me? You were talking about kicking me out.
I wasn't talking about kicking you out.
He shrugs.
I was just saying that relationships do not work.
A big part of me was praying that he wouldn't remember the things he was saying last night. He basically told me that marriage is for fools and that he should be alone. What are you saying?
Just that.
Just that what? I don't know what to say. I thought the new lamp was his way of apologizing and that he felt different this morning than he did last night.
You thought what?
That you didn't want me to leave because you wanted to talk about it when you got home.
We are talking about it.
A lump grows in my throat. So what then? You don't want to be with me anymore?
That isn't what I'm saying. Come here,
he says, opening his arms. I stay silent as I cross our small kitchen and step closer to him. He grows impatient, and when I get close enough, he pulls me into his chest, wrapping his arms around my waist. My head lies on his chest. The soft cotton of his sweatshirt is still cool from the cold winter air.
I missed you so much,
he says into my hair. I didn't go anywhere, I reply. He pulls me closer.
Yes, you did. When you kissed that guy, I lost you momentarily. That was enough for me. I couldn't stand it, not even for a second.
You didn't lose me, Harden. I made a mistake.
Please,
he begins to say, but corrects himself.
Don't do it again. I mean it.
I won't, I assure him.
You brought Zed here.
Only because you left me at that party and I needed a ride home, I remind him. We haven't looked at each other so far during this conversation, and I want to keep it that way. I am fearless, well, slightly fearless, without those green eyes piercing mine.
You should have called,
he says. I continue staring beyond him. You have my phone, and I waited outside. I thought you were coming back, I say. He lifts me gently from his chest and holds me back slightly so he can look at me. He looks so tired. I know that I do, too.
I may have handled my anger poorly, but I didn't know what else to do.
The intensity of his gaze causes me to move my eyes from his and stare at the floor.
Do you care for him?
Harden's voice is shaky when he lifts my chin to look at him. What? He can't be serious. Harden.
Answer me.
Not the way you're assuming.
What does that mean?
Harden is growing anxious or angry, I can't tell. Maybe both. I care for him in a way, a friendly way.
Nothing more?
Harden's tone is pleading, begging me to assure him that I only care for him. I cup his face with my hands. Nothing more. I love you. Only you, and I know I did something very stupid, but that was only out of anger and alcohol. It has nothing to do with me having feelings for anyone else.
Why did you have him, of all people, bring you home?
He was the only one who offered. Then I ask a question I instantly regret. Why are you so hard on him?
Hard on him?
He scoffs.
You're not serious.
You were very cruel to humiliate him in front of me. Harden takes a step sideways so we're no longer standing face to face. I turn to stand in front of him and he runs his fingers through his messy hair.
He should have known better than to come here with you.
You promised to keep your temper at bay. I'm not trying to push him. I want to make up, not dive deeper into this argument.
I have been, until you cheated on me and left that party with Zed. I could have beat the shit out of Zed last night, and hell, I could still leave right now and do it.
He says, raising his voice again. I know you could have. I'm glad you didn't.
I'm not, but I'm glad you are.
I don't want you to drink again. You're not the same person when you do. I can feel the tears coming and I try to swallow them down.
I know.
He turns away from me.
I didn't mean to get that way. I was just so pissed off and hurt. I was hurt. The only thing I could think to do besides kill someone was drink, so I went down to Connor's and got the whiskey. I wasn't going to drink that much, but the images of you kissing that guy just kept coming, so I kept going.
I have half a mind to drive down to Connor's and yell at that old woman for selling Hardin alcohol, but his 21st birthday is exactly a month from today, and the damage of last night has already been done.
"You were afraid of me. I saw it in your eyes,"
he says. "No, I wasn't afraid of you. I know you wouldn't hurt me."
"You flinched. I remember that. Most of everything is a blur, but I remember that clear as day."
"I was just caught off guard," I tell him. I knew he wasn't going to hit me, but he was behaving so aggressively, and alcohol can make people do unspeakable things that they would never do sober. He steps closer to me, almost closing the entire space between us.
"I don't want you to ever be caught off guard again. I won't drink like that ever again, I swear it."
He brings his hand to my face and traces over my temple with his index finger. I don't want to say anything in response. This whole conversation has been confusing and very back and forth. One second I feel that he's forgiving me, but the next I'm unsure. He's speaking in a much calmer tone than I expected, but his anger is just under the surface.
"I don't want to be that guy, and I definitely do not want to be like my father. I shouldn't have drunk that much, but you were wrong too."
I start to say, but he silences me and his eyes get glassy.
"However, I have done a list of shit, an entire book of shit to you, and you always forgive me. I've done far worse than you, so I owe it to you to do my best to let it go and forgive you. It isn't fair to you for me to expect things from you that I can't return. I really am sorry, Tess, for everything last night. I was a fucking idiot."
"I was too. I know how you feel about me with other guys, and I shouldn't have used that against you in anger. I'll try to think before I act next time. I'm sorry."
"Next time?"
A small smile plays on Hardin's lips. He changes mood so quickly. "So we are okay then?" I ask.
"That's not only up to me."
I stare into his green eyes. "I want us to be."
"Me too, baby. Me too."
Relief washes over me as I hear his words, and I lean into his chest once more. I know that a lot of things have purposely been left unsaid, but we have resolved enough for now. He places a kiss on the top of my head, and my heart flutters. "Thank you." He says with some humor in his voice,
"Hopefully the lamp will make up for it."
Deciding to go with it, I smile and reply, "Maybe if you could have managed to get the same lamp." He looks down at me, equally amused.
"I cleaned the entire living room."
He smiles.
"You're the one who trashed it." "Still, you know how I feel about cleaning."
His arms wrap tighter around me, hugging me. "I wouldn't have cleaned that mess. I would have left it there," I tell him.
"You? Please. No way."
"Yes, I would."
"I was afraid you wouldn't be here when I got home,"
Hardin says, and I look up at him and he looks down at me. "I'm not going anywhere," I tell him, and pray that it's true. Instead of speaking, he presses his lips to mine. Chapter 65. Tessa.
"What a way to begin the new year,"
Hardin says when he pulls away from our kiss. He rests his forehead against mine. My phone buzzes on the table, breaking the spell, and before I can grab it, Hardin already has it and is pressing it to his ear. When I get to my feet to try to take it from him, he steps back, shaking his head.
"Landon, Tess will have to call you back,"
he says into the small speaker. His free hand grips my wrist and he pulls me close to him, my back to his chest. Seconds pass before he says,
"She's otherwise occupied."
He pulls me with him as he walks into our bedroom. His lips brush my neck and I shudder. "Oh."
"Stop being annoying. You two need medication,"
Hardin says, and ends the call before setting the phone on the desk. "I have to talk to him about our classes," I say. My voice betrays me when he licks and sucks at the skin on my neck.
"You need to relax, baby."
"I can't. There's so much to do."
"I can help you."
His voice is slow, slower than usual. His grip on my hip tightens when he places his other hand across my chest to hold me still.
"Remember that time when I fingered you in front of the mirror and made you watch yourself come?"
he asks. "Yes," I gulp.
"That was fun, wasn't it?"
he purrs. Heat makes its way through my body at the sound of his words. Not heat, fire.
I can show you how to touch yourself the way that I touch you.
He sucks harshly at my skin. I have now turned into a ball of electricity.
Do you want me to?
The dirty idea sounds somewhat appealing, but way too humiliating to admit.
I'll take your silence as a yes,
he says, and lets go of my waist, but takes my hand. I stay silent, nervously going over his words in my mind. This is beyond embarrassing, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. He guides me to the bed and gently pushes me back onto the soft mattress. He climbs on top of me and straddles my legs. I assist Harden in taking off my sweats, and he places a kiss on the inside of my thigh before sliding my panties off.
Stay still, Tess,
he instructs. I can't, I mewl, as he softly bites my inner thigh. There's just no way. He chuckles, and if my brain were actually connected to the rest of my body right now, I would roll my eyes at him.
Do you want me to do this here, or would you like to watch?
He asks, and my stomach flutters. The pressure continues to build between my legs, and I attempt to squeeze them together to get some relief.
No, no, baby. Not yet.
He's torturing me. He pushes my thighs apart and puts more of his weight on me to keep them separated. Here, I finally answer, almost having forgotten he asked a question.
Thought so,
he smirks. He's so cocky, but his words do things to me that I never thought possible. I can't get enough of him, even when he has me pinned to the bed with my legs spread open.
I had thought about doing this before, but I was too selfish. I wanted to be the only one to make you feel this way.
He leans down and swipes his tongue along the bare skin between my hip bone and the top of my thigh. My legs involuntarily try to stiffen, but he doesn't allow it.
Now, since I know exactly how you like to be touched, this will not take long.
Why do you want to? I squeak when he bites down on my skin again, then licks the sensitive skin.
What?
He looks up at me. Why? My voice is thick and shaky. Why show me if you want to be the only one?
Because despite that, the thought of you doing it yourself in front of me, just fuck,
he breathes. Oh, I need relief and soon. I hope he doesn't plan to torture me long.
Besides, you can be a little uptight sometimes, and maybe this is just what you need.
He smiles, and I try to hide my face in embarrassment. If we weren't doing this, I would say something back about him calling me uptight. But he's right, and like he said earlier, I'm otherwise occupied.
Here, this is where you start.
He surprises me by placing his cool fingers against me. A hiss escapes my lips from his cold touch.
Cold?
He asks, and I nod.
Sorry.
He chuckles, then slides his fingers inside of me without warning. My hips buck up off the bed, and I clamp my hand over my mouth to silence myself. He smirks.
I just need to get them nice and warm.
As he moves his fingers slowly in and out a few times, the fire within me heats up. Then he removes them, making me feel empty and desperate. Suddenly, he places them back where they previously were, and I bite down on my lip.
Now don't go and do that, or we won't be able to finish your lesson.
I don't look at him. Instead, I swipe my tongue across my lip and bite down again.
You're very testy today. Not a very good student,
he teases. Even while teasing, he drives me crazy. How is it possible to be so seductive without even trying? This skill is surely something that only Harden has mastered.
Give me your hand, Tess,
he instructs. But I don't move. Embarrassment pools in my cheeks. Then his hand grips mine and he brings our hands down to my stomach and to the top of my thighs.
If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But I think you'll like it,
Harden says softly. I do, I decide. He smiles knowingly.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm just nervous, I admit. I feel much more comfortable with Harden than with anyone I've known in my entire life, and I know he won't do anything to make me uncomfortable, not in a malicious way at least. I'm just overthinking this. People do it all the time, right?
Don't be. You'll like it,
He bites down on the corner of his mouth, and I smile nervously.
And don't worry if you can't get yourself off. I'll do it for you. It's no foreskin off my back.
Harden! I groan in embarrassment and plop my head back down on the pillow. I hear him laugh lightly and say,
like this.
He spreads my fingers. My heartbeat increases dramatically as he brings my hand there. It feels so strange, foreign and just strange. I'm so used to the way Harden's hand feels on me, the way his fingers are rough and calloused, the way they are long and slender, the way they know exactly how to touch me, how to
just do this.
Harden's voice is thick with lust as he guides my fingers to the most sensitive spot. I'm trying not to think about what we're doing. What I'm doing?
How does it feel?
Harden asks. I don't know, I mutter.
Yes, you do. Tell me, Tess.
He half demands and removes his hand from mine. I whimper at the loss of contact and begin to remove my hand.
No, keep it there, baby.
His tone makes my hand snap back to the spot.
Continue,
he commands lightly. I gulp and close my eyes, trying to repeat what Harden was doing. It doesn't feel nearly as good as when he does it, but it most certainly doesn't feel bad either. The pressure in my lower stomach begins to build again, and I screw my eyes shut, trying to pretend that it's Harden's fingers that are making me feel this way.
You look so hot touching yourself in front of me,
Harden says, and I can't help but moan and continue to trace the pattern that he's shown my fingers. When I open my eyes slightly, I see Harden's hand rubbing over his jeans. Oh my God, why is this so hot? This is something I thought people only did in naughty films, not in real life. Harden makes everything so hot, no matter how strange it is. His eyes are focused between my legs, and his teeth are digging into his bottom lip, making his silver ring stand up taut. The second I feel he may catch me looking at him, I snap my eyes shut. I shut off my subconscious. This is a normal and natural thing. Everyone does it. Just not everyone has someone watching them. But if they had Harden, they surely would.
Such a good girl for me, always,
he says into my ear, nipping at my earlobe. His breath is hot and smells of mint, and it makes me want to scream and melt into the sheets at the same time. Do it too, I breathe, barely recognizing my voice.
What?
Do what I'm doing, I say, not wanting to use the word.
You want that?
He sounds surprised. Yes, please, Harden. I'm getting so close and I need this. I need to take some of the focus off of me, and honestly, seeing him rubbing himself just now did wicked things to me, and I want to see him do it again, that and more.
Okay,
he answers simply. Harden is so confident when it comes to sex. I wish I was the same way. I hear the zipper of his jeans and I try to slow down the movements of my fingers. If I don't, this will be over very, very soon.
Open your eyes, Tess,
he demands, and I oblige. His hand wraps around his bare length, and my eyes go wide at the perfect sight as I watch Harden do something I never thought I would see anyone do. He leans his head down again. This time, he plants a single kiss on my neck before bringing his mouth back to my ear.
You like this, don't you? You like to watch me pleasure myself. You are so dirty, Tess. So fucking dirty.
My eyes never leave his hand between his legs. His hand moves faster as he continues talking to me.
I'm not going to last long watching you, baby. You have no idea how fucking hot this is.
He groans, and I do the same. I no longer feel uncomfortable. I'm close, so close, and I want Harden to be close too. It feels so good, Harden, I moan, not caring how stupid or desperate I sound. It's the truth, and he makes me feel like it's okay to feel this way.
Fuck. Say something else,
he grits out. I want you to come, Harden. Just picture my mouth around you. The filthy words tumble from my lips, and I feel the warmth on my stomach as he releases onto my flaming skin. That does it for me, and I come undone from my own doing and close my eyes as I repeat his name over and over. When I open my eyes, Hardin is leaning up on his elbow next to me, and I instantly bury my face in his neck.
"How was it?"
he asks, wrapping his arms around my waist to pull me close to him. "I don't know," I lie.
"Don't be shy. I know you liked it. So did I."
He kisses the top of my head, and I look up at him. "I did, but I still like it better when you do it," I admit, and he smiles.
"Well, I would hope so,"
he says, and I lift my head up to plant a kiss over the indent of his dimple.
"There are a lot of things I can show you,"
he adds, and when I flush again, he reassures me.
"One step at a time."
My imagination runs wild at the thoughts of all the things Hardin could show me. There are probably so many things I've never even heard of that he has done, and I want to learn them all. He breaks the silence.
"Let's get you a shower, my star pupil."
I lower my eyes at him. "You mean your only pupil?"
"Yeah, of course. Although maybe I should teach Landon next. He needs it just as bad as you."
He teases and moves to climb off the bed. "Hardin!" I shriek, and he laughs. A real laugh, and it is such a beautiful sound. When my alarm goes off early Monday morning, I fly out of bed and head to the bathroom to take a shower. The water gives me energy, and my thoughts begin to travel back to my first semester at WCU. I had no idea what to expect, but at the same time I felt very prepared. I had every detail down. I thought I'd make a few friends and focus on extracurriculars, maybe join the literary club and a few more. I would spend my time in my dorm or at the library studying and preparing for my future. Little did I know that just a few months later I would be living in an apartment with my boyfriend, who was not Noah. I had no idea what was coming when my mother pulled into the parking lot at WCU, even less so when I met the rude boy with the curly hair. I wouldn't have believed it if someone told me, and now I can't imagine my life without that crabby guy. Butterflies begin to dance in my stomach as I remember the way it felt to catch a glimpse of him on campus, to try to glance around the room to look for him in literature, the way I'd catch him looking at me while the professor was speaking, the way he'd eavesdrop on Landon and me. Those days seemed so long ago, ancient really. I'm startled from my nostalgic thoughts as the shower curtain is pulled back to reveal a shirtless Hardin, his hair messy and falling over his forehead as he rubs his eyes. He smiles, his speech drawn out and thick from sleep.
"What are you doing in here so long? Practicing your lessons from yesterday?"
"No," I squeak, flushing as the image of Hardin coming pops into my mind. He winks.
"Sure, babe."
"I wasn't. I was just thinking," I admit.
"About what?"
He sits down on the toilet and I close the curtain. "Just about before."
"Before what?"
he asks, his tone full of worry. "The first day of college and how you were so rude," I tease.
"Rude? I didn't even speak to you."
I laugh. "Exactly.
You were so annoying with your dreadful skirt and your loafer-wearing boyfriend."
He claps with glee.
"Your mum's face was priceless when she saw us."
My chest tenses at the mention of my mother. I miss her, but I refuse to take the blame for her mistakes. When she's ready to stop judging Hardin and me, then I'll talk to her. But if she doesn't do that, then she doesn't deserve my time. "You were annoying with your, well, your attitude." I can't think of what to say because he didn't speak to me the first time I met him.
"Remember the second time I saw you? You were in a towel and you were carrying those wet clothes."
"Yes, and you said you wouldn't look at me," I recall.
"I lied. I was certainly looking at you."
It seems so long ago, doesn't it?
"Yes, very long ago. It doesn't seem like those things actually happened. Now it seems like it's always been us. You know what I mean?"
I pop my head around the curtain and smile. "I do, actually. It's true, but so odd to think about Noah being my boyfriend instead of Hardin. It doesn't sit right. I care for Noah so much, but both of us wasted years of our lives dating each other." I turn off the shower and push him to the back of my mind. "Can you..." I begin to ask, but before I finish, Hardin tosses a towel over the top of the curtain. "Thanks," I say, while wrapping the cloth around my wet body. Hardin follows me into our bedroom and I get dressed as fast as possible while he lies on his stomach on our bed, his eyes never leaving me. I towel dry my hair and get dressed. Harden does a good job at distracting me with not-so-subtle gropes during the process.
"I'm driving you,"
he says, and climbs off the bed to get himself dressed. "We already have that established, remember?" I remind him.
"Shut up, Tess."
He shakes his head playfully, and I smile a mock-innocent smile before heading back into the living room. I decide to wear my hair straight for once. After I apply light makeup, I grab my bag and take another look inside to make sure everything I need is inside before meeting Harden by the front door. Harden carries my gym bag for yoga class, and I carry my bag full of everything else that I could possibly need.
"Go ahead,"
he says as we step out. "What?" I turn to look at him.
"Go ahead and spaz,"
he says with a sigh. I smile at him and tell him the intricate plans for the day for the 10th time in 24 hours.